I've got the message for tonight. Sometimes I wonder, do I? But there's no question in my mind about tonight. This morning's teaching was outstanding. Our song service was just bathed in the Spirit of God. But God has something more for us tonight. And I believe that if you apply the principle tonight of what we're talking about, you'll never, ever have to worry about losing out with God. That's important. So if you'll turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter, Genesis chapter 6, starting let's start in verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, those are those who are living for God, saw that the daughters of men, those who weren't, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So what God is saying is, because you disobeyed, because you did what I didn't instruct you to do, I'm now reducing your lifespan from 500-600 years to 120. Later, we find that God reduces man's life expectancy to 70 or 70. Some get more. And it's not because, well, we don't have the technology now. You think about it, people living 500-600 years without any, you know, medical breakthroughs. Folks, it's all up to God. There were giants in the land, or very intelligent people in the land in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. Thank God for butts. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. We're so grateful for it, God. It's the only thing that is stable in this entire world. It's the only thing that never changes. Anoint it, bless it, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't know what happened. You know, it was about 1,000 years after creation, and we find that all of a sudden, things go awry. I believe things were doing very well. In fact, there was no rainy day up until this point, 1,000 years and all sunshine, no need for weatherman. Never rained. Everything was water from a mist that came up from the ground. But maybe it was going too well. And now we take matters into our own hands. And what is really amazing, that every thought of the imagination of man, think about it, was evil continually. Could that be what's happening right now? The things that are happening in this world, don't even need to justify it. They're just evil. No conscience, no moral values. And it grieves God. But there's a church. We're the saving grace of this entire world right now, folks. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse number 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile or pollute man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what God is saying is the thing that really defiles you isn't because you haven't washed your hands, it's because of what has come out of your mouth and what has come out of your head. And then Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the church. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's no separation. Two become one. We're talking about a husband and wife, but we're also talking about the church in Jesus Christ. We become one, you see. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Glory to God. And then, if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse number 5, doth not behave itself, love, 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 doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, love thinketh no evil. That's why you parents, when you realize somebody has accused your children of some wrongdoing, no, not my boy. No, not my lovely child. Because when you love your children, you think no evil of them. When we love each other, glory to God. There's a saying that you get what you preach, but we also become what we think. And God can read our minds every minute of every day. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards God. But you also have to understand that the devil cannot read your mind. He can read your body language. He can read your inactivity. And what he'll do is he'll throw thoughts into your mind to see if you respond to those thoughts. I've said so many times, when the devil calls, don't answer the phone. That's all. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. You're all taking a bath right now. That's right. Every service, we do the wash. We shout it out. We use cheer. We use tide. As we're shouting, we get clean. As we're happy, we're getting clean. And the tide turns as we worship God. It's the washing by the word of God. You hear about the phenomena of brain freeze. And if you haven't, wait a while, it'll show up. Brother Portman this morning was in my notes. I'd made these notes before this morning, and what I was going to say is I remember so many times walking up to the second floor, going for something, but by the time I got there, I don't know, why was I here, you know? So I waited until the brain freeze. You know, you young people, you think, what's wrong with those? Your time is coming. Glory to God. So tonight we want to deal with the brain freeze. But more importantly, tonight we want to talk about the brain flush. Not to be confused with the brain wash. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, our entire body is cleansed, but also our brain is cleansed as well. You know, some people say, well, you people are just brainwashed. You're absolutely right. I'm not thinking the way I used to think. Hallelujah. Amen. All we need to get rid of some stinking thinking, and that happens as we get under the preaching of the Word of God, we get convicted, and all of a sudden, there's a flushing out of the bad, and the good starts to come in. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're trying to get the mindset of God in our everyday living. Our thinking must conform to the thinking of Christ. Glory to God. Would you turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting in verse number 17. Paul saying, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations of old men, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So God's saying you have to have a renewal of your mind. You see, this body won't do anything until your mind tells you to do it. There has to be a convincing of your mind in order to do what God wants us to do. You see, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. God is making it very clear to the church that walks in light that we do not involve ourselves in the unfruitful works of darkness. We can't entangle ourselves again to the things that God has delivered us out of. We can occupy our minds with a lot of things, but God tells us to be careful of what we think about. It said, let no corruption or worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Be careful. See, the mouth can't even operate until the mind tells it what to do. So if you're thinking bad, you're probably talking bad. We all have the prerogative to choose what we will think about and what comes out of our mouth, but God is saying, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Some things should not be named among God's people. Amen. See, there's something inherent within us that wants to broadcast the negative. Finally, the news networks have picked up on that, you know. their stock and trade is the negativity of everything that goes on in the world. Not so in the church. Hallelujah. We can't allow ourselves to talk about other people falling into sin. We can't allow ourselves to enter into foolish conversations or witty gesturing or banter that might open the door of our mind to the unfruitful works of darkness. It's so easy then to justify where we are because somebody else falls into sin, and we're better than that. God wants us to manage our thought process. Take charge of it. And you can't say that I can't do that. Those thoughts come in randomly. And yes, we all have those thoughts. But what do you do with the thoughts? I'm telling you, if you can gird up the loins of your mind, you never have to worry about losing out with God. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How is that? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what it says. And then John, the 19th chapter, verse number 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, Jesus got the victory in the place of the skull or Golgotha. It's not a coincidence that this hill, and I've been there, I saw it look like a skull from some distance away. We get the victory in the place of the skull. When we have right thinking, we will have right actions. But if we have wrong thinking, then we're apt. You see, the battleground is in our mind. It really is. And when people aren't exposed to the washing of the word, when people aren't exposed to the preaching of God's word, they are exposed to a lot of other things. And now all of a sudden you could have damage up in the cranium. We must throw out every thought, every imagination that would be opposite of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if our mind goes unchecked, it will bring us into the captivity of sin. Paul said this in Romans 7:23. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, Paul, in my estimation, is probably the greatest of the apostles, accomplished more people were saved because of his ministry than any. He started more churches, wrote most of the New Testament, but he was having a problem with the mind. I want to do what's right, but I can't, because there's this flesh that I'm warring against. Anyone who has ever lost out with God and fell into sin first had to lose a battle in their mind. A warring in their mind to bring them into the captivity of sin. James chapter 1. James 1, starting in verse number 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So what it's saying is everyone is going to be tempted. There isn't anybody that's exempt from being tempted in one way or another. Everybody in here knows what their weakness is. Chances are your weakness is where we found you, you know, that before you came into the church. And the flesh wants to go back to that area. And God's saying, no, blessed is the man that endures temptation. You're going to go through it, but if you will endure, there is going to be a reward. Let no man say that he is tempted. I am tempted of God. It's not God that tempts anybody. You know, he's not, this is a test. There's plenty of temptation within the world, so let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But here it is. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there's a process. It starts with thinking, and then it goes another step, and then it's conceiving, and then it bringeth forth death. It happens so subtly, perhaps a simple thought or a picture in the mind, which then can develop into something more graphic, and then the thought shows up more frequently until it starts to dominate your thought pattern, and you wonder, how did I get so far? Paul said in Romans 7 and 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So Paul had the same problem with temptation of the flesh. I don't know what it is, but he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He's speaking about warring in the mind. I don't believe he ever sinned. I don't believe he ever fell away from God. But I know there was a battle that was going up in Golgotha, the place of the skull. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's two that you have to deal with. You know what's right, but then this flesh. Well, there's church tonight. Who's going to win? The warring will always be there. But we must bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Every day, thousands of thoughts enter and leave our mind. They come from a lot of different places. Generally, it's through the eye gates and the ear gates that the thoughts come in. And they could be good thoughts of God, scripture, church, family, work, recreation, and even thoughts from the enemy of your soul. We choose which thoughts we're going to stay with for a while and which we have to immediately get rid of. Many years ago, my father was living by himself. My mother had passed, and I was pretty much his caregiver. He had some dementia. I'd stop over every morning, take care of getting him started, and maybe a little bit of breakfast. And I was about to leave for a trip to Nigeria. I said, Dad, when I get to New York, there's a stopover, I'll give you a call. But when I got to New York, I found the computer that I had was smashed, and I had to deal with the airlines, and I never got to call him. And 2 days later, he died in an accident. That thought kept going through my mind. What? Who cares about the computer? Why didn't I just call him? The last words might have been such a comfort to me, you see. But you can't allow. God knew what was going to happen. He knew before I left. Obviously, in order to function on the job and other capacities, we can't focus on God all of the time. I'm not saying that. But sometimes during the day, there should be time that we do. That's normal in the church. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you will take up that banner, if you will simply take some time out during the day, start talking to God, think about the goodness of God, now all of a sudden the bad has a, well, you get a brain flush. Not a brain freeze, a brain flush. If we relegate singing and making melody in our heart to God only when we're in church, we are in for a battle in our minds. God must occupy our thoughts throughout the waking hours, or we become susceptible to some temptation that surely will come because of weaknesses in our flesh. So think about what you think about. I mean, what occupies most of your thoughts? And have we made room for the good thoughts? They may not be bad thoughts, but if they're thoughts that push out the thoughts of God, preoccupied by that brand new bowl, that brand new dishwasher, whatever it is, a chainsaw or a dress, if those things preoccupy yourself, when you're so enthralled with something that you want or you're getting, be careful. Or thoughts that we are preoccupied by when we should be bringing our thoughts into captivity for God. So there's an exchange process that God has, you know. I just bought something, and there was a contract that says I have up until November 3rd to get my money back if I want, you know. But God doesn't have that kind of contract. You can exchange those rotten thoughts for good thoughts. No expiration date, anytime you want to, but you have to want to. We can be preoccupied by little things, cars and recreation and dating and gardens and just nonsense. But it's fun, and God doesn't mind that we're involved, but how much are we involved? I've said this before. Some years ago, we were still in our little church, and some guy, I was trap shooting with my son, and someone said, there is a tournament. It's only going to take a little while on a Sunday afternoon. So between services, I entered into this trap contest. And it was 50 birds, and the one who gets the best, you know, wins some kind of plastic trophy, you know, which is important, you know. So I shot the first 25, got them all. The next 24, got them all. And I thought, I'm going to win that plastic trophy, man. And the last bird went out, it must have been about this big, and went straight away. And I thought, I got it. And I missed. So 49 out of 50. And so I'm almost ashamed to say this. All during the song service, I'm thinking, man. I shortchanged God for something stupid. And that's why when we come into here, church, don't sit with your friends and start talking. Come up to the altar and get a brain flush and start thinking about God so it doesn't take four songs for you to finally get spiritual. Hallelujah. When I came to God, I put everything in line after God, including my business, because God doesn't want anything to come before Him, or I may lose it. See, we've got a jealous God. And when He sees us looking at something else, He's a little jealous. And maybe He'll just take that away from us. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." Thinketh, continually thinks on. We become what we think about. It occupies us. So how many want to be occupied by the thoughts of God? Church helps. But when we walk out of here, you're on your own. We sing that song, "I am a friend of God. Who am I that he is mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me?" Could it be that God is thinking of us when we are thinking of him? See, because he's constantly monitoring our thoughts. And when we, I don't know how he does it, but when we start thinking about him, he's thinking about us because he loves us. Psalms 40:17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Yes. Make no tarrying, O my God." Church, we need to think on the right things in order to do the right things. It just follows. Think right, do right. I want to be a Dudley do right. I want to be a good doobie. I want to be a good saint. But if I have stinking thinking, or what comes out of my mouth is not edifying, it actually pollutes me more than washing my hands or putting a mask on. If our musicians would come, our last scripture is one of my favorite, Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again I say, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He's an ever-present God. Be careful for nothing except the coronavirus. I read a sign the other day. It says, "What doesn't kill you will make you stronger, except for bears. Bears will kill you." So we say, we're strong in God. Well, except for this little virus thing. That'll kill you, you know. So paranoid that we can't do anything. We can't come to church. Boy, I hope this doesn't go out on the air someplace. Yeah. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your feelings, and mind," or your thoughts, "through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace, well, he's going to be with you. Hallelujah. It's probably the hardest thing that we have. The greatest challenge in our walk with God is to think right. Sometimes we overthink things. We try to understand things that we don't need to understand. All we need to do is think right and do right. And the God of peace will be with you. God, I don't know what am I going to do in this dilemma? You don't have to worry about it. Just know that God's in charge of your life. Nobody else is. Hallelujah. You know, anything that happens to me first has to pass the desk of Jesus Christ. And I have more confidence in him than anything else in this world because I know what the Word of God says. Amen. Glory to God. Do you think you could stand? Application. You hear it, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't do any good. If I took my phone out today, I could show you probably 30 applications. I probably use 3. I don't know why they're all there. But you can't do that with the Word of God. You need to apply it. Get it in there somehow. Amen. Live it somehow. And God will bless you because of it and keep you safe. The altar's open. Would you come?